I've never been so hyped today before. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. All right, so a ton to get to. Telephone number is toll-free nationwide, 1-800-636-8686. A watch lister, Sean, in Wichita, just crashed and burned. It's all right, Sean. He called up, man. He was so upset after he got run. It's all right, dude. You are one to watch. It's part of the process. You will be back. I know you've got game. It's just not meant to be. It's not your time. But it is this guy's time, especially this time of year. We are joined right now by a senior writer and a college basketball analyst for CBS Sports. He is co-host of CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball podcast. Matt and his laptop will be performing with Guster this August. He is part of CBS Sports HQ's special draft coverage all night long. It gets underway at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Matt Norlander is my guest. Matt, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing well, yes. That Guster thing still is planned for August. Ben still assures me that's going to happen. And I'm happy and thrilled to be joining you and get you that much closer to tomorrow's Smack Off. I know your audience is champing at the bit and eager to move this thing along, so I'm happy to be here.
Nice to have you here. We're all fired up for it. But you got the NBA draft, and you have been covering the draft for more than a decade right now. Matt, can you remember a time when there were three candidates who could go number one who was closely packed together as Paolo Banchero, Jabari Smith, and Chet Holmgren?
Nope. I believe that the discussion and at least the debate over the validity of each of those guys to be the number one prospect is as intense as we've ever had for a draft. I'm talking with three specific players. Some people have said it's really Chet versus Jabari. I maintain Paolo Banchero will be the rookie of the year no matter where he's drafted and will wind up having the best NBA career of any player in this draft. But it has been a really fun thing, not just leading up to the draft, Jim, but I go back to November when Gonzaga played Duke and Chet went against Paolo Banchero in that setting. And at that time, Jabari Smith, you know, at the start of the college season, he was seen as an NBA pick. And then with a quickness, he started to become a guy that was thought to be, all right, potential first round material. And I'm going to give Archie Miller, who's now the head coach at Rhode Island, props. He was the very first person who I ever heard say Jabari Smith should be the number one pick in the NBA draft. And he did this long before anyone was really talking about it. And in a few hours here, it looks like Archie Miller might have been the soothsayer among all of them, because that it appears, although there's been some wild betting market movement, it appears, and talking to a few people at the NBA level, the expectation still is that Orlando will take Jabari at number one.
Matt Norlander is joining us. The betting movement has been wild. I agree. I've been watching this. It's amazing to see the way this has been going. So what about Smith? If he goes number one, you have him number two in your mock draft. For people who did not get the chance to see him at Auburn, how would you describe his game?
Jabari Smith is, he is super smooth, polished, yet there is some rawness to his game. But he has, the reason why he's probably going to go number one and the reason why a lot of people grade him as the best prospect in the draft is because of his combination of height. He's 6'10". He's a 6'10 guy who took 187 three-pointers at Auburn last season and made 42% of them. Like, very, very efficient. Also a good foul shooter, and that is something where if you're an NBA GM, a scout, they take a lot of stock into, can this guy shoot reliably and consistently from beyond the three-point line? And then at the foul line, is he a good one? And Jabari Smith shot 80%. So he has a sterling reputation. I mean, I talked with Bruce Pearl about him multiple times this past season, and I think Pearl has begun to echo this talking point that he shared with me back in the middle of the season. But he said Jabari Smith is the first player that he ever coached in college where he felt like he was like in the presence of a guy who would go on and be a multi-time all-star in the NBA and like a surefire, sure thing, super mature. Also a guy that, although he's not, like, I understand a lot of people might start to know about Jabari Smith now because he had a nasty dunk in the tournament. Auburn was, you know, a two seed, although they didn't make a super deep run. They're not super familiar with him the way they are with Banchero, or they are Chet Holmgren, or maybe even Jaden Ivey. But, you know, in his interviews and you know, at least, you know, in terms of his reputation, Jabari Smith is like the guy everyone in the locker room loves, great teammate, super fun to be around, really amazing personality, kind of passes every background check you could possibly imagine. And yeah, if you could build a modern NBA player in a lab, you'd want someone like Jabari Smith. super long, very athletic, defensively capable, can shoot the three. And it's because of so many of those attributes that he's put himself in a position to go number one tonight.
Matt Norlander is joining us. All right, Matt, so let's go back to Bancaro for a minute. You've made the point that he is the most NBA-ready player in this draft. So having said what you just said, and I heard that, but does he have the highest ceiling in the draft, or is he the safest pick in the draft?
I think he's the safest. He's the best combination of safest pick and proven commodity at this point. He doesn't have the highest ceiling. Chet Holmgren has the highest ceiling because Holmgren, being 7 feet, can bring the ball up, shoot from beyond the arc. There's a lot of attributes there. We can get to that in a second if you want. I was around Holmgren plenty. I was around Bancaro. I mean, I was on the Coach K farewell tour for the final quarter of Duke's season there, and so I saw Bancaro in person early on and then at the end of the season, and no one has his combination of skills. I mean, Bancaro, you can play an offense through him, or he can be a facilitator. He is a great distributor, has really good vision, very good passer. He can play the post, but he's also capable of bringing the ball up the floor or taking it off the screen, creating off the bounce, and he has something where if you watch Duke and Bancaro play a lot this season, he can score with brute force just as much as he can with delicate touch in a way that not really anyone else has. And I keep going back to the fact that Bancaro, you know, I saw him play as a 16-year-old in Colorado Springs, sitting there with college coaches, you know, 3 summers ago, and he was the best guy in the gym then. And, you know, Chet has been on a steady rise. I get that. But Bancaro has never not been, you know, the guy, the best guy, the second best guy in his given class in a given year in whatever sport, you know, high school, prep, college. It's always been him. So I keep going back to that. I think he's ready for it. And if he does fall to 3 tonight to Houston, the Rockets are in this amazing spot because they aren't given the paralyzation of choice. You know, they'll take whoever's there and leave it to Orlando. If going to take Jabari, and if Oklahoma City is indeed going to take Chet Holmgren, then you get Bancaro at 3. It's about as good of a value for a top 3 pick as I can remember in recent years.
Matt Norlander getting us ready for the NBA draft. All right, so what about Chet? This is the most unique player in the draft. As you wrote a few months back, Matt, we've never seen anybody like this in the game before. Knowing all of that, how challenging is he for front offices to evaluate?
He is challenging. Yes, he is the definition of unique. There is no comparison. He's not. Kristaps Porzingis is not an analog. Kevin Durant is not an A to A. You know, you name the player. There's never been someone this tall, this skinny, with his skill, who also is that good defensively and kind of a space eraser, shot blocker. He's fascinating. But yes, I had someone in a front office tell me in the middle of last season he scares the bleep out of me, and the reason for that is, and this, I found this interesting. 2 different NBA people, who, as far as I know, really don't know each other that well, they both brought this up to me at separate points during the season. One during the season, and one in the past couple of weeks here. But the talk with Zion Williamson going into that draft, there was never any doubt he was going to go 1. But the one thing you could attach to Zion Williamson that would have given you any pause is, how will he keep the weight off, or how will he play with that weight, and will he avoid injury because of it? We have seen what's happened. Zion Williamson's about to get paid anyway, but to this point, Ja Morant has been the more reliable and dependable NBA player. We'll see what happens here in the second contract for Zion. With Chet, there's some of that. He's never been hurt, but because he's not even 200 pounds, are we going to look up in 2, 3, 4 years? And he's just played off the floor because he doesn't have the strength. I was there in San Francisco, Jim, when Gonzaga got knocked out of the tournament by Arkansas, and a couple of those fouls that you know, took him out of the game, I thought, you know, weren't the greatest calls by that officiating crew. But regardless, you know, that was a high-level, very important, big-stage game. Chet Holmgren could not stay on the floor. Just because he's never been hurt before, are we going to see that his body type, that body structure against NBA big men, 82 nights a year, not 33 games or 40 games in a season, 82 games in a season, will he be able to sustain that? That's why there is some hesitation, and it's why, you know, I just rank him 3rd long-term because I got to see it. That's all. Like, he's super dedicated. The profile you were so generous to mention, Jim. Like, I don't believe there's a player in this draft who is more obsessed with basketball and absolutely dedicated to being coached than Holmgren. I think that's an important thing to know as well. Like, he wants no platitudes. He wants none of your compliments. He doesn't want to hear any of that stuff. He wants to live in a gym. It got to the point, Mark, you told me, where they had to, like, seriously go to him and be like, no, Chet, you don't understand. We're not allowing you back in the gym right now. You have to give your body rest. And he would still try and find ways around it, go to an assistant, be like, man, just come get some shots up with me. Like, that's a good thing, but at the same time, he's still got to learn to do what you want to do. There's a certain science to developing your body and not overdoing it there. And because of that, it's why, you know, front offices are really taken with him. But there's still hesitation, and I get it. Like, I get the jokes are going to be flying because of how he looks, but he's an awesome competitor, and I will be fascinated to see how his career goes from here because, again, never seen a guy like him.
It's so true. I mean, anybody who knows the guy would never, ever, ever question his dedication, his passion, his love of the game. It always comes back to his physique. All right, Matt, before you go, a few months back, we talked about the buzz that the Guster for Lovers sticker on your laptop caused during the Final Four. The excitement has now turned into you and your lapper joining the band on stage in August. This is still a thing. Break it down. How did this all come together?
Okay. So that is in August, Guster, which is an incredible band out of Boston, been around for like 30 years now. Real ones know. My laptop sticker wound up being prominently displayed behind Mike Krzyzewski at the Final Four, and then I happen to know the guys. So they're going to play a show in Maine later this summer, and they've been insistent and kind enough to take this viral moment and make sure that that they capitalize on it. Although I will say this, you want to know the power of the viral moment. They did happen to share with me that that their streaming service consumption rate, however you want to define that, was up like 35% because of what happened at the Final Four, which is hilarious. But yes, the Guster It's for Lovers sticker will be on stage in Maine. Shout out to Dave Whelan. We might be trying to make that an appearance happen there in August. I don't know if you can pull that or not, but I got to drop a Whelan reference here for the hardcores. And
For the real ones.
So yes, they are. That is still on the docket for later this summer, and yes, that was quite the experience at the Final Four. Mike Krzyzewski, it's just a hilarious to look back and knowing that the last game of Mike Krzyzewski's career, the statesman of the game, maybe the greatest men's college basketball coach in history, and for half of that broadcast, as he's got his steely look, you know, trying to burn a hole in his defense on the other side of the floor, you've got this goofball with a Guster It's for Lovers sticker just right behind him. It's an image for the ages, Jim.
It's the best, the absolute best. He is a senior writer and a college basketball analyst for CBS Sports, co-host of CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball podcast, and part of CBS Sports HQ's special draft coverage all night long, getting underway at 6 p.m. Eastern. He is all over it. Matt Norlander, my guest and a good friend of the program. Matt, great job. Appreciate it. Have a great night, and we'll do it again soon.
Jim, thank you. Good luck on the smack off. And I absolutely did not do what Stephen H. Town recommended and tweeted at me to say on my hit. So you're welcome for that. And good luck tomorrow.
My man, thank you very much for that. Hey, Stucknut, stop stirring it up, man. Stop stirring it up. He knows better. 1-800-636-8686. Jeff in Southfield's back in. Jeff in Southfield tweets in response to what I said about his calling him getting run. Jim! I don't need to hoard. I got a smorgasbord, wore the great American, and one token Canadian smack off. My man, he's not hoarding anything. He will be fine. He's already bounced back. Right to Twitter with it. I'm telling you, he's one to watch. And that does not make me in any way biased or predisposed to anything. He's just good. He's really good.